Measure Up Podcast, Episode 3, Making Sure Your KPI Graphs Don't Suck. G'day and welcome everyone. I'm Stacey Barr, the performance measure specialist of StaceyBarr.com and your host for the Measure Up podcast. I'm passionate about making performance measurement easy and fun for you to meaningfully measure the performance of your organization or business so it can truly be excellent at what it exists to do. So in this episode about making sure your KPI graphs don't suck, our feature article is Three Things You Need on Every KPI Graph. We'll help Measure Up subscriber Narelle answer her question about how to get executives understanding different methods of reporting performance results, and we'll wrap up with a quick tip for how to choose the right graph type for your KPI or performance information. Well, I'm back from the US, where I recently ran my performance measure blueprint workshop in San Francisco and Boston. It all went tremendously well, excellent feedback from participants, and I also had some time to explore these iconic cities a little bit. Mostly, I like to do the exploring on foot, so my husband and I walked a lot, and I made sure my runs took me over new ground too. My absolute favorite run was from Sausalito over the Golden Gate Bridge, almost to the start of the Embarcadero in San Francisco in the city, and then back again. It was a Saturday morning. It was sunny and it was warm and there were people everywhere. It was awesome. I'm looking forward to going back again in 2011. Maybe I'll meet you at one of my US workshops. Who knows? Now on to this episode's topic. Creating great graphs for KPIs is one of my personal favorite parts of the performance measurement process. It's that point at which you really get to see what your KPIs are trying to tell you. And I reckon it's almost as good as unwrapping a gift. When you display your performance measures appropriately for the first time, you're often surprised by the story they have to tell. As often, it's a story over many months or years, which you were, up until now, completely oblivious to. A participant at one of my recent performance measure blueprint workshops used a graphing method that I taught him at the workshop to display a performance measure of system outages, which is basically a measure of reliability for his team. Traditionally, this measure was graphed as a 12-month moving average, also called a running average or rolling average, and the idea was to smooth out the variation over time. It wasn't until he graphed this performance measure using the control chart method he learned at the workshop that he could see sudden shifts and gradual shifts and even times of chaotic performance, which the moving average smoothed out or gave clues way too late. Basically, he could see the real story of performance. And for what I've seen over the years, most of the graphs that people use to display their performance measures or KPIs fail dismally at that very task they should excel at, highlighting the real signals about whether performance is improving, declining, or staying the same. So I want to share with you how you can make your graphs signal more powerfully and more validly in this episode's feature article, Three Things You Need on Every KPI Graph. You can get the written copy of the podcast's feature article in this episode's corresponding issue of the Measure Up email newsletter. The newsletter gives you additional resources to meaningfully measure what matters, and you can subscribe for free at www.measureupblog.com. The frighteningly vast majority of performance reports and dashboards are filled with graphs that fail to communicate the real signals our performance measures and KPIs are desperate to show us. These reports encourage us to react to trends that aren't there at all and to miss important signals about future problems. We need a revolution in the performance reporting space, and a big part of that revolution should be the use of control charts, charts that include three very powerful features that dramatically improve our interpretation and response to our performance measures and KPIs. Feature one is presenting your performance measure in time series. this month compared to last month, this month compared to the same month last year, this month compared to target. All are limited and risky, misleading comparisons to make. Why? Because you have no context within which to assess if the difference you're looking at is typical or not. There will always be differences, but the only way to see which ones are worthy of your response or explanation is to see the data in the full context of a time series. Plot your measures in time series with as much history as you can reasonably get your hands on. Around 20 values is good, such as the last 2 years' worth of monthly values. Feature 2 is to add the measure's mean line. The signals about performance lie in the patterns, not the points of data. 2 points is not a big enough sample to determine if there's a change. Adding a mean line to your time series, calculated from the first 10 points or so, and then kept constant, will give you a visual benchmark to determine when future points of your measure are behaving differently from the past. You're starting to build what's called a control chart, and there are statistical rules that can help you know when a signal is there and when to recalculate a new mean line. For example, one of the signals of change is a run of 7 points of your performance measure on one side of the mean line. You can then recalculate a new mean line using those 7 points. Feature 3 is to add the measure's limits of natural variation. Everything varies. Everything. And performance measure values tend to vary quite a bit from month to month, or week to week, or quarter to quarter. Just because 1 point varies more than 10% from your average doesn't mean you have a problem. It depends on how much natural variation is in your measure to start with. Control charts include a measure of the natural variation. For example, if a point falls outside the limits of natural variation on the chart, then you know something has happened out of the ordinary and it's worth following up. Limits of natural variation also help you pick up signals from only 3 or 4 points of data in a row. You don't always have to wait for 7 points to behave differently. But you do need to learn how to use these control charts. It doesn't come naturally, and people who don't take the time to learn make mistakes in constructing and interpreting them. But they're really easy to learn and very worthwhile learning. The most convincing and clearly articulated resource that I've ever seen about using charts like these for management reporting is Donald Wheeler's book, Understanding Variation: The Key to Managing Chaos. If you consider yourself interested in performance measurement and performance improvement, this book must be in your personal toolkit. Now, if you want to actually put these ideas into practice, here's one way you can take action. Ratchet up your knowledge on control charts for management reporting. Get a copy of Understanding Variation, The Key to Managing Chaos, and then go find some performance data and have a go at using a control chart to reveal the true signals. Donald Wheeler's book will have a dramatic impact on how you understand how to present your measures, but as one MeasureUp subscriber is experiencing, it's not always easy to get the buy-in to new types of graphs and analyses. This episode's question comes from Narelle, and she asks, how do you get executives to understand different methods of reporting performance results? Well, Narelle, the best way to get executives, or anyone for that matter, to understand methods for reporting performance results is to get them focused on the questions they're trying to answer through the performance results. Then, to help them see how the various methods that you've chosen to display those results are, in fact, signposting the answers to their questions. For example, one question they have has got to be, is performance getting better or worse, or is it staying the same? A control chart is the best way to answer a question like this because it's essentially a question about real changes over time. Another question is likely to be, is performance hitting target? Again, a control chart is still the best way to answer this kind of question because it's important to really be clear about what you're comparing with the target to know if performance has hit it or not. It's not going to be the current month's value for performance. It's got to be some measure of the overall average level of performance. and it's that average level you want to compare with the target value. I also prefer to include targets on graphs as a single point sitting above the date by which the target is to be met. I don't like targets as horizontal lines across the entire width of the chart because you lose the perspective of having time to move the average level of performance up to that target level. It's not reasonable to expect performance to hit target right away each and every month from here on. Now, another common question is going to be, why is performance doing what it's doing? And you don't answer this question with your KPI or performance measure. You answer it with cause analysis, and one great way to display the impact of various causes on your performance result is a Pareto chart, which is a bar chart where the bars are ordered by decreasing size, and it's so you can immediately pick up the causes that have the greatest impact. So if you start with what questions your executives are really asking of the performance information, it'll help them better understand what graph or analysis they're looking at. Graphs shouldn't be chosen based on popularity or based on the default dashboard gauges that your software comes with, or based on the notion of making a report interesting by changing the graph type on every page. Graphs should be chosen based on how well they answer the questions you're asking of your data. Now, if you have a question that you'd like me to answer for you on this podcast, email me at measureup@stacybarr.com. And on this topic of graphs, our quick tip this episode is how to choose the right graph type for your KPI or performance information. If you want to see changes over time, use a line chart or a control chart and try to include at least a dozen or more points in your time series so you have enough context for trend analysis. If you want to compare the level of performance or some other variable among a group of related entities like revenue by customer segment or expenses by business division or turnover by employee job classification, then use bar charts. If you want to highlight the relative impact of various causes on a performance measure, then use Pareto charts. And remember, Pareto charts are simply bar charts where the bars are in order of decreasing size. So it's easy at a glance to see those causes having the biggest impact. If you want to see if there's a relationship between two different variables or performance measures, like if there's a relationship between customer satisfaction and delivery cycle time, or a relationship between hours of rework and workload per employee, then use a scatter plot. And finally, never use pie charts. As author and visual analysis expert Stephen Few says, they're okay at teaching school kids about fractions, but they are completely incompetent in informing business decisions. Use bar charts if you're ever tempted by the pie. Well, we're now at the end of another episode, and I want to thank you again for joining me. You can download these podcasts and also read the feature articles at measureupblog.com. You can also subscribe to this podcast at iTunes. Just search for Measure Up. Until next time, this is Stacey Barr, the Performance Measure Specialist, signing off. Keep measuring what matters and engaging everyone you can to do the same.